Welcome back to the number one self-exploration podcast in the world. I'm your host, Lord Milan, and as always, if you don't think life is weird, then you're not paying attention. This is my life at a weird angle. Welcome back to another episode of My Life at a Weird Angle. Today, I'm joined with a new friend of mine that I met in Vegas not too long ago. And usually what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but we're bringing it outside of Vegas. I'm here with the amazing Melissa Jordy, who is, among other things, a military vet and an entrepreneur, a speaker, and. Melissa, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's absolutely my pleasure to be here.
Awesome, awesome. So speaking of veteran, what branch do you serve in?
I was in the Air Force for 5 years, in the IT field, actually.
Smart.
It was, like, I went in right after high school. So when people tell me I'm smart, I always have to stop them and say, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I definitely will outwork anybody in the room. So not smart. And I've become smarter over time. Obviously, I have some intelligence to me, but definitely hard work has always been on my side. Going into the Air Force, though, the military right out of high school was one of the smartest decisions I've ever made, though, hands down.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, smarts can weigh, you know, whether or not you're familiar with the situation. You know, you can be smart in this area and not so smart in another. But I think, you know, making decisions on purpose is the thing that gets you the furthest, the fastest. And at least, you know, it's your life, you know?
Exactly. Your choices will make or break you, right?
Right. Yeah, my dad, like you, he went into the military right after high school. For him, it was a way out. You know, he knew that the people in the place that he was in was not somewhere that was really conducive to a good life.
And exactly, and that's kind of some, you know, a big part of my story too. And when you say, you know, smart, that's why I kind of have to take a step back a little bit. I was told in the first grade that by my first grade teacher to my mother during like one of those parent-teacher conferences, to not expect anything more than average from me for the rest of my life, that I would be an average student. So when someone says smart, that's almost like a limiting belief I almost have to punch in the face because, you know, I am intelligent, but, you know, I grew up and I'd say you're not a product of your environment. And I think I'm a living example of that because I did grow up, you know, on welfare, Section 8 housing with a single mom on food stamps, where I was told I'd be average for the rest of my life. And what it sounds like very similar to your father is, the military was a way out for me. The military was a way out for me to change what the trajectory of my life would look like, being told that I would be average. So it made absolute sense to me, 100% sense to me to sign up. I actually signed up my senior year of high school.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing sometimes the things that we hear at a young age that try so hard to put us in a box. Mm. And you know, much like you in that situation, you know, I remember at a young age too, them telling my parents that I would not have anything. You know, a couple of weeks after I was born, I got viral meningitis. Mm. And, you know, that's dangerous as an adult, let alone a 2-week-old.
Right.
Wow. And they told my parents that, you know, if I do survive, I would be severely mentally handicapped. And, you know, basically put me in a home because it would be too painful to see me never progress. And much like you, you know, a woman of faith, my mother is a woman of faith and said, nope, I don't think so. I'm going to choose to think differently here. And obviously, you know, things worked in her favor. And it's something like that. You know, when I look back at my life, I can see like all these challenges and these hardships that were built into my story, but I realized that they weren't built in as barriers. They were built in as opportunities.
To
be strengthened.
Exactly. What some would take as a burden, the hand that you were dealt, instead of seeing it as a burden, you were able to transform that into a blessing. And it sounds like your mom, thank God for her, was able to have belief in something bigger than her that would allow you to come out and be a part of the belief that she carried and translate or transfer that over to you, just knowing the other part of your story. And everything that you've kind of been through. It's powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of good stories, I was looking at your Instagram and noticed, you know, one of the thing that you had posted is, you know, some of the defining characteristics are God gains in gratitude.
Mm.
And the first thing that came to my mind was, wow, she chose three hard things. Because, you know, a real faith relationship, you know, if you really believe that you're a Christian, you really believe that you're walking with God, it's not the easiest thing to do.
No.
And also gains, you know, physical gains in the gym with your body, that's also not easy to do. And even gratitude, sometimes it's something that you have to convince yourself to focus on, because it's so much easier to just take things as they are and go along with the default complaint mode that a lot of people live with. So what makes you stick with those three aspects, God's gains and gratitude?
And like you said, they're hard, but they're also very intentional. And taking the path as a Christian, a fan, as a follower versus a fan, or even as an entrepreneur like yourself, we have decided, we have chosen to travel the path that's not followed, right? By most, it's the path least followed. It's a hard path. We are, I believe, cut from a different cloth. And if you sign up as an entrepreneur or a follower of Christ, you have literally signed up to get punched in the face, right?
Hey.
Both of these paths, whether as a Christian or an entrepreneur or even in the military, these all require, they're like a forced growth. Yes, we raised our hand and said, yes, we're going to do this. We made the choice. I'd say everybody's called if you were chosen, because you have to answer the call. You have to surrender every day to self in both of those areas, whether it's fitness, your spirituality, or even, you know, your mental health, that you are going to choose to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. You're going to choose that discomfort in an effort, but knowing that that discomfort, that pain is going to bring that growth in that next level. And I'm a firm believer that our purpose here on earth is to reach our highest level, to achieve Christ consciousness. And that comes from fueling yourself, your body physically to that optimal level, so you can have purpose through your body, because we get this one vehicle, our body, that our purpose is performed through. And it all starts with God. If you don't have God as that foundation, God is that foundation to fall back onto every time you get in the ring and you get in that ring to fight, then you're just kind of out there wandering around like a wandering generality. It starts with God. You're going to have those gains in every area of your life. Your goal is to have gains physically, mentally, emotionally, to learn those lessons. And we do that through gratitude, because we're thankful, we're grateful for the opportunity to every day get up and consistently, persistently, without quit, pursue our best self. That's an opportunity. And I find it selfish. And honestly, it's probably one of the things that frustrate me the most, is when I know someone has potential that they're just sitting there and letting it waste away. It literally breaks my heart. And it broke my heart for myself. And what brought me to that point was my mom at the age of 48 passed away. The young age of 48 passed away. And I always thought I'd have tomorrow with her. I always banked on tomorrow, when in reality, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're guaranteed today, but not tomorrow. So why waste a day?
Yeah,
maximizing potential, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the whole not waiting for tomorrow thing, I think that mindset in itself is really living out scripture, you know, because it says now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. You know, now God is.
Amen.
And it's one of the reasons that I named my coaching program The Day One Mindset, because tomorrow actually never comes anyway.
Right.
You know, every day that you wake up is today, every single day. And it's like, you know, when you think that way, like, oh, tomorrow never shows up. Well, what am I waiting for? And, you know, I'm fully aware that I'm living on borrowed time here. Things can hit the fan at any time. And much like you, I've paid attention enough that even when I did fail, I was able to capitalize on something. You know, I was able to harvest the good out of that somehow eventually. You know, not saying it happened the day after the breakup. I'm like, oh yeah, that was so worthwhile. I'm so appreciative, you know?
Right.
But if you wait long enough, it usually does lead down, you know, a place that's really worthwhile and abundant.
Right. And you can look back and connect the dots and hindsight, see that, and it all stems from your beliefs, right? And if your beliefs are firm in that foundation that you have a power higher than you, in this case, for the both of us, God, that's either protecting you, promoting you, or perfecting you, if you can operate from that foundation. So when these battles do hit, and inevitably they're going to, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So when they do hit, we can arm ourselves in our foundation and intentionally operate from a place of these beliefs, these truths that we know are being perfected, promoted, or protected. And it may hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting probably in the moment. But the idea is to go from, you know, months or weeks or years to minutes and moments in that state, that low vibrating state that doesn't serve us. Because I strongly believe that as Christians, if we say we are followers of God, followers of Jesus, if we say that, then we need to come from a place of faith, right? A place of hope, place of love, to worry, to be in anxiety, to be in anything that's not in congruence, in conscience congruency with who he says we are, is almost like a slap in the face to him.
Oh, for sure. You know, and I'm a firm believer that, you know, I tell all my clients that titles tell stories. And it's often the chosen titles that mean the most to our life and our identity, not necessarily the given titles. You know, you don't choose your parents, where you're born, your ethnicity, language you speak, etc. But eventually in your life, you start to make these choices. You know, okay, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am the other. And each title that you choose, it tells a story. You know, the title of entrepreneur tells a story, whether you know French or not, of someone who's willing to risk more than other people. And, you know, even things that people say, like, oh, this is my passion project, or I'm so passionate about this. And I'm like, well, do you know passion means suffer? So it's like, it's something that you're willing to suffer for. So, you know, be careful there. And, you know, I did my master's degree in linguistics and literature. So I'm really keen on the words that we use and, you know, want to use them to the best of my ability. And I love, too, that, you know, in studying languages, studying Hebrew in particular, the word in Hebrew for word and the word for thing is the same word, davar. So, you know, the entire language is built on the fact that, like, I'm only going to speak about things that I want to come to fruition. Why would I speak about something that I don't want? That doesn't make any sense. I know it's going to become a thing eventually. Absolutely. And it's that it, you know, the things that we do, the people that you and I talk to, we know that we're there first and foremost to present a story. And it present a story that is worthwhile, that is, you know, beneficial to us and other people. You know, and, you know, obviously I can hear a bit of Dave in your words here with the persistent pursuit and everything.
Absolutely.
And it's just that it's the choice that we make on a daily basis. But I wanted to ask you, what are some of the choices that you stopped making because you realized that those were not conducive for you?
100%. Great question. So, if given the choice, right? If given the choice of choosing to say, I am this or I am that. And like I mentioned, I grew up being told, like you said, we are given a name, we are given an environment, being told who I was from a very young age. And it took that about sophomore year of high school to change that label. And I'm so big on changing labels and coming from a different foundation now. Like, what follows I am is so powerful. I am in my firm foundation, that solid rock that I stand on now, is I am a child of God. And anything that's not becoming of that title, I have to quickly cancel out. If it's not in congruence with that, it does not serve me. So if given the choice to be in congruency with that title or another title, it would be silly to follow anything less than I am the daughter of a king. And I struggled quite some time with living other titles. And I like to say that I had to unbecome, I had to unlearn so many behaviors, so many limiting beliefs to finally step into and walk in my purpose. I had to unbecome average. I had to unbecome poor. I had to unbecome not enough. I had to unbecome not worthy. And it took time. It's not something that's just a quick, you know, flip of the switch. It's a process, a journey where you have to take the time to really figure out, where are these beliefs rooted? Why am I thinking these things? So when they do pop up, because they still do on occasion, that young girl, Melissa, I have to duct tape to the bottom of bottom of the basement and say, hey, just be quiet, because that's not true. But once I was able to get myself in conscious congruency with who I actually am, there became such a freedom, a joy, a peace, and the ability to really operate in purpose and what, you know, what you often refer to or hear referred to as a flow state.
I love that you said unbecome, you know, because I think, yeah, you know, like we said, we just accept these default roles. And I remember I was my most unhappy in my life before I broke my neck, which sounds so crazy. But it's in part, in major part, because I internalized the stories about me as true.
Amen.
Rather than this, than my own stories. And, you know, I embraced other people's ideas, negative or positive, about me. Like, okay, this is who I am. You know, these are the people that are around me that are dictating certain things. Whether or not those ideas served me with is a whole other story. Because most of those stories did not serve me at all. And no wonder I was in such a desperate, depressed, anxious state. And I remember distinctly when I was 14, you know, crying, and I had been drinking that night, and I had, you know, come home late, and I was crying, and I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, I just want my life to matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I want my life to be epic, like the people in the Bible, like they knew you, and I want people to know what side of the fence I'm on. And I just don't feel like I'm doing anything that matters. I feel like I'm just floating around, like you said. And 2 years later, I broke my neck, and I didn't realize at the time that was his answer. His answer was, okay, you want your life to be epic? Okay, I'm going to give you an epic struggle. Because in that epic challenge, you know, it gave me opportunities to become epic myself.
Exactly.
You know, it gave me the opportunity to prove my faith. It mm-hmm. gave me the opportunity, like you said, to unbecome so many things that I had embraced. You know, right. And it's oftentimes what you stop doing that makes the biggest difference in your success rather than what you actually do.
Right. The clearing out of the interference that's not in influence with who he says you are. And like what you said, you needed your faith tested, because I think we've all heard faith untested can't be trusted. And we
that's a good one.
Right. We gain that next level every time we decide, we make the choice to move forward in active faith, because that's when he opens doors. That's when he starts to release blessings. Because what we're doing is when we're trapped in something that's not in congruence with who he's created us to be, we block our blessings. We get in our own way. We say we're not epic when, in fact, he's provided you a pretty epic life. We're just standing in our way. There's some limiting belief there that's in the way of who he says you are. And you've been that. From day one, he's given you a name. He knows who you are. He's given you a purpose just somewhere between our environment and in the people we're around, beliefs that have been caught or taught. We have interference there that just needs to be released so we can unlock those blessings to whatever it is you feel like you're missing, that in your case, an epic life.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of my the things me and my mentor have been saying for like a couple of years now is that it's not lonely at the top, we're just more choosy. And you know, we choose everything. We choose our thoughts, we choose our words, we choose the people that we're around, we choose the food, we choose hard, we choose to do the things that are tricky now, but you know, reminding ourselves that God is in the unlikely business. You know, if God's in the unlikely business, well, I'm going to bet on the unlikely, even if I don't understand all the parameters right now. And I'm sure you've learned, like I've learned in any entrepreneur, or anybody that's just embraced the challenge of it all, is that you learn so much more after you start.
Yes, you
learn so much more after you start.
But then it's like, I think a lot of people get stuck. They're afraid to start.
Yeah.
They're afraid to start because of the unknown. But when you can sit there and step back and say, I can embrace the unknown, because it's all about the unknown. It's all about the surprise. It's all about trusting the man with the plan. It's not your agenda. It's his plan. All we're asked to do is be obedient and have active faith and move forward. Take that next step, and he'll continue to reveal the next for you, the how and the why. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, though, right?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. You know, and I say that, too. You know, it's easier said than done. And then I follow it up usually with, but everything is, you know, mm-hmm. everything's easier said than done. So it's like, you know, it's a given that way. But Ed Milet and I, like a few months back, like 6 or 7 months ago, we're having a conversation, and he said, we're talking about how Jesus was always, he often mentioned that, you know, if you're not like these little children, then you won't see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And he said for him, he realized that being like little children is fantastic because kids don't have memory or history.
Mm.
So all they have is trust in the now, in what feels the best, and what is naturally true. And like you said, like the core of who you are is perfect. The core of who you are is God. The core of who you are is truth and love. So it's like it's easy for them to operate from that place because they don't have a history or a memory of anything other than that.
Exactly.
And I was like, whoa, Ed, that's super absurd.
That childlike spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is, you know, and it's like you said, you know, it's, you know, the Flow Research Collective, I don't know if you've heard of them, but their big thing is like, how could I infuse more flow into my life? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they encourage all entrepreneurs, especially, is to gamify your activities. You know, how can I gamify this? And one of the things that I mentioned to my new clients, especially when they're going through a tough time, is how many smiles can you cause today? Can you cause any smiles today? And just like see what number you get to by the end of the day. And oftentimes, like, it just makes whatever they're doing a lot more fun because they're not focused on what they can't do or the hardship of it. They're focused on the solutions around them and, you know, gamifying the something as simple as a smile.
And it's like, to get someone to smile, it's like you have to come from a place of service, genuinely.
Right.
Leadership, right? And
yeah.
That's from a place.
Yeah, fake it.
It's like love outside of authenticity. Those are the highest vibrating frequencies. So if your game is to get someone to smile, it's really a game of love. So you can't lose. They're going to smile. You're going to naturally smile because then your smiling's addicting. Someone's going to smile. Yeah. You're gonna smile right back out at them, and that energy that produces alone, holy cow!
Right, it makes a huge difference, and like right away you end up enjoying whatever you're doing because of where your mind is. And you know, attitude is everything. And like the attitude that you bring into a situation really dictates the outcome oftentimes. And
100%. That's why I say gratitude is the biggest one, and attitude of gratitude. If you can go into every situation grateful, and that's probably the biggest thing I learned from the military, especially being in it at such a young age. I was over in Iraq at 21 years old, where we were literally being bombed every day, where I had to walk a mile and a half to the restroom, where we didn't know if that our meal was going to be there the next day because all of our trucks were being bombed or the dining facilities were being bombed. I was, when I came back to the States and even operating since then, it's just, you are grateful for so much more.
Like, yes.
Everything is just, everything becomes almost like a luxury at that point. Like, and then from that childlike mentality, that childlike spirit, it's just, you're in awe of what we do have access to. As little as like running water. Like, we didn't have access to that. I didn't have access to pick up a phone, like a cell phone, or even do something like this and call my daughter at the time. I got a phone call once a week for 10 minutes. And it's the little things you start to become grateful for. Walking into a job, some people call a job that they have to be at, or they have to go do this, it's like, if you can change that language, like you said, your words matter. I get to do these things.
Hey, that's what I say.
Right? I get to, like,
yeah, I get to.
Anybody to change from I have to I get to, that change alone, coming from a place of gratitude, like, your world will transform.
Oh yeah. Really fast too, you know, because like our mind already understands the phrase I get to as something that's worthwhile. You know, because you can say it with like, hey, I get to open my mail. And all of a sudden you enjoy mail better, or you know, any of those things. And you know, your level of gratitude, I think, yes, it is intimately related to what you get to have and what you get to experience in life. And you know, just being in the wheelchair for so long and just the physical challenges. I mean, for the first 5 years, my body had atrophied from 185 pounds to 144.
Wow.
So it was very tricky even just to stay awake. Even though 6 months after I broke my neck, I started college. I was like, life would have to be easy for it to be doable. It's fine.
Right.
But what it did is, like, you know, especially over the years, is like, one, I was paying more attention to myself, which is always good. And two, every little gain that I made, okay, you know, like, oh, I can put a shirt on by myself, nice. Or I can hold a toothbrush without dropping it, nice,
right?
And my level of gratitude became like, I don't even want to say 10x, it became like 15,000x. because all the little details of my life, like all of a sudden were grateful moments.
And see, so, and you obviously sound like a fighter, like myself. You can tell you're an entrepreneur where you operate from God, gains, and gratitude as well. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And it's stuff like that ends up becoming so natural, because like those are the only things that are going to work long term. You know, you can do anything in the short term, but like long term, like if you're playing the long game here, you got to have some real strong foundational tent poles here.
Exactly.
And I'm a firm believer that the Bible is a real practical manual for life. Mm-hmm. No, in addition to the theology of it all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really gives you a heads up on like a lot of things. One, hey, it's not even worth trying to avoid problems. It's not. And it's not worth it to even worry about problems either. And once I unlearned a lot of those things. I'm like, oh, just because it's serious doesn't mean I have to stress. Just because it's important doesn't mean I have to worry.
It's going right back to gamifying it, right? Problems or challenges or trials are now opportunities to grow. They're lessons to be learned. So now we attack them, we look at them as, hey, I'm going to gain something from this. If you look at it the right way, right? We come from a place of gratitude. What can I learn? How am I going to develop? How am I going to progress? How am I going to ascend through this situation? Does that mean it's going to be easy? Absolutely not. Nobody on a path to purpose, nobody in purpose, it has signed up for an easy life. These are all opportunities for us to grow, to become more like Jesus. That's what they are. That's our job here on earth, is to become more like Jesus.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there was a time where I definitely looked at that route, looked at Christians, even though I grew up in a Christian household, looked at Christian men especially as not strong. Mm. And like the idea of that, I was like, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed, brother. I'm just like, that sounds fake. I don't believe you. One, because I know you personally and you're not strong. So, you know, no thanks, buddy. But I always heard the voice. You know, and I always had the intuition, and I always believed that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. I just never saw it presented to me in a way that was lived out, you know, through that person. So it always seemed like yes, but no kind of thing. And then when I broke my neck a week after the injury, I woke up in the hospital, middle of the night, looking around, you know, empty hospital room, and Jesus is standing there at the end of my bed. And Satan was next to him with his back turned, sitting on the end of my bed. Like, you know, hey, you can be here, but you can't speak in my presence. And I was like, okay. All right. Well, what's up? What's up? And he said, you know, door number one led you here. What are you willing to take door number two? And I was like, yeah, because I have nothing else. You know, literally nothing worked below my collarbone. My body stopped working. There was no feeling, no nothing. And he told me that your thoughts, words, and actions, if you align them in any direction, you can create whatever you want. And I would never give you something that's too much for you. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. He said, if you follow me, then you'll walk again and you'll have an extraordinary life. And just remember to control your thoughts, words, and actions. They're the building blocks of everything.
We probably need to emphasize that, because it's one thing to say we have that foundation of beliefs, right? But like you just pointed out, if your thoughts don't align with your actions and your beliefs, it doesn't matter. You have to have all three. You have to have all three.
Yeah, because it's like people that you know, they talk a good game, but there's no action behind it. You're just like, you know, that doesn't last long.
No.
Or, you know, you can think any good thing, but if you don't do anything about it, there's no action. Again, well, does it really matter?
You could say you believe in God all day long,
right?
You're not genuine about it, it doesn't matter.
Right. You can even put on your Instagram profile entrepreneur and not have a business. Like,
exactly.
Like, you know, plenty of people do that. I'm like, oh, well, I thought you were an entrepreneur, man. What are you doing?
Right. You have to have all three. You have to be in total conscience congruency, followed by active faith, that action, to be in alignment with your purpose. You have to literally keep your eyes, your heart, your hands, your mind on Jesus the entire time.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up, tell me about this book, The Badass Within, I see.
The Badass Within is a book I got to co-author that talks about women who've overcome these battles. And most of them are tied directly to their faith, which is beautiful within itself. So just like you, they've overcome something. They're fighters that have been able to overcome something. So my next book, The Fighter's Mindset, speaks a lot to kind of the stuff we went over today about having that foundation, having that fighter's mindset, choosing the God gains and the gratitude as our foundation to move through these battles in life, in purpose, the process of unbecoming to become who you're created to be.
Well, doggone, Melissa, it sounds like you know what you're doing.
Just a little bit. I give all glory to God, though. Without
yeah.
Well, pretty much nothing.
It's cool being on this side, and like when you are living on purpose, you know, you end up becoming so much more authentically yourself that it becomes almost impossible to not attract authentic experiences and authentic people.
Amen.
And you know, one of the phrases in my coaching program is the phrase, of course. You know, and as soon as you stop looking at like the breaks that you get as a random and but built in of like, of course I get a break here. You know,
yes.
Of course I meet the love of my life. Of mm-hmm. course I'm stronger than the situation. Of course, you know, and because God only sees you one way of great.
Yes.
You know,
of course.
So it's like, of course. You know, of course, I flew down to Vegas last minute because Nick called me and I was on the show with Dave. Like, of course, Melissa and I hit it off and we were like-minded. Of course.
Of course.
You know, that's of course.
Just coincidence.
Right. It's not a coincidence. It's like, you know, when you see things that way, then yeah, they become a part of your identity, not just a random occurrence.
Absolutely.
Because if it's random, then it's not repeatable. And that's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And
it's in purpose on this side of heaven in his name.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love the word coincidence too, because I heard a quote from Einstein. He said, coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous.
Amen.
You're supposed to see what you'll do with it.
Exactly. Right?
And beautiful. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's almost like, you know, of the game of five, like God's playing hide and seek with all these blessings.
Right.
He's like, hey, did you notice that good sandwich? I'm like, oh yeah, I did. Thanks. Hey, did you notice this? Did you notice that? I'm like, yeah, I noticed things.
Mm-hmm.
And like anything else, like once it's in your purview, then you have access to that more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same way that if your friend buys a new white, you know, Jaguar coupe, you just see white Jaguar coupes everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and it's just that detailed. And I think once we realize that the details do matter and we start telling ourselves a better story, oh, it's amazing what happens after that.
Ooh, tell yourself a better story. Love that.
Absolutely. So tell people where they can find you, where they can get a hold of you, where they can, you know, follow your story and support you.
Absolutely. So Melissa May Jordy on social media, thefightersmindset.com is where you could access some of my information. This has been an absolute pleasure. And like awesome. You said, new coincidences. I am so grateful that David's plan brought us together in Las Vegas, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, and we'll be in touch.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Day One Mindset. Are you confused on where to start? Well, here, beginners are welcome. Day One Mindset will guide you and provide you with detailed steps so you can start your journey to success. For more information, visit dayonemindset.com.